You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
I'm going to minister something fairly simple, and my prayer is that you don't let the simplicity of it keep you from receiving it. The truth of the matter is this has been on my heart for a very, very long time. Pastor Mark, about a year ago, was giving me an opportunity to minister, and I was so excited because the Lord was dealing with me about something and had given me a particular topic and subject and even shown me the service and how it would go. And then Pastor was like, well, we'll be out of town, so Robert, you're going to minister. And I got so excited when he said that, and then he said, and this is what I need you to minister on. I was like, no, so close. And so we ministered on that. And then every single time since then, every time I've ministered, he's given me a particular assignment. And so, you know, we just yield and we take it. And it's amazing how the Holy Spirit works. Amen. And it seems that right now is the perfect, most appropriate time for this message. And everyone said, amen. It's going to tie wonderfully into what Pastor Mark has been talking about. And today we're going to talk about the importance of one. Everybody say one. See, because lots of times when we think of Jesus, we think of multitudes because the crowds followed him. We tell the teenagers all the time, if you'll just follow Jesus, you'll be the most popular person around. Jesus followed God with all of his heart. Yeah, he was the most popular person to walk the face of the planet. Crowds followed him, whether they had resources or food, whether it was cold or hot, whether they were sick. They followed Jesus because he obeyed God. And there's some merits to obeying God, amen? And when we think of Jesus, we think of the crowds. And you know what? All of us in this room, many of us, will never have an opportunity to stand in front of crowds and proclaim the name of Jesus. But every single one of us will have daily opportunities to stand in front of one person. And if we'll stop thinking about the crowd and start thinking about the one, we'll be empowered to reach the one. And let me tell you this, this is how you change the world, one soul at a time. Now, God doesn't just want us to do this. God needs us to do this. You know, when I first came on staff 17 years ago, hallelujah, promised Pastor Mark and Pastor Rhonda 1 year. Longest year of my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 17 years later. It's been wonderful. I love my pastors. Amen. Aren't you grateful for them? Hallelujah. I got connected to them and I just can't let go. Glory to God. Amen. And so I remember when I first started here at the church, I brought this up to Pastor Mark because he gave me a school in Bible or a class in Bible Institute called evangelism. And so, as we all know in the New Testament, the Bible doesn't follow a lot of evangelists. There's just one, Philip, that we really hear about. And so I went to Pastor Mark and I said, Pastor Mark, I'm kind of getting something to where this is interesting. I want to run it by you and make sure I'm not getting weird with it, you know. And I said, I wonder if in the Bible we only see one biblical example of an evangelist because there wasn't really a need for the evangelist because the church was doing what they were supposed to do. See, and if you go and you read the book of Acts, and it talks about the church being added to daily, and we love those numbers, 3,000 in one day, and 5,000 in one day, and 1,000 in one day, and we love those numbers, but we don't see it being done by the evangelist. Go and read it. It says that the church was doing the work. Amen. And this is simply how it works. There's like 200 people in here. Now, I want you to think about this. Imagine if everybody in this room brought one person with them next week. Not a multitude. Not a crowd, not thousands of people, but you brought one person. Hallelujah. And it's not about growing Cornerstone. We know this. It's about growing the kingdom. Amen. It's about bringing Jesus to the people because the people need Jesus. And you can reach one person. You are graced to do it. You're equipped to do it. And there's a message inside of you that the world needs. I'm going to preach whether you want me to or not. You just as well get on board. Hallelujah. There's a message in you for the world. There's a message in you for one person. If we all bring one person with us next week, the kingdom of heaven doubles in a moment. And that's how the church's attitude, 100 at a time, 1,000 at a time. Well, I'm over the outreach team here at Cornerstone Word of Life Church, and I teach the outreach team all the time. I really believe that Cornerstone's not going to grow by one singular outreach where we have thousands of people come, but it's going to grow by you encountering one person at a time. Letting Jesus come out of your heart, like Jim said, in you is rivers of living water. Let that river out. Enjoy the river. Everybody say one person. One person. Reaching one person is important. Amen. John 3:16, a very simple and familiar Scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent his son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I wrote this down. I said, Jesus died for all, and in dying for all, he died for one. See, I never really thought about it that way. Jesus died for all, and in dying for all, he died for one. See, he's got this wonderful attribute about him to where he can care about the whole world, but yet he cares about the individual. And that should be our heart too. And I think lots of times we get in this mentality, whether we do it on purpose or not, we think, okay, I've got to reach the world. And in thinking about reaching the world, we overlook the one. The one person we're encountering at Walmart, the one person we're encountering at Kroger, the one person, I went to Kroger, Kroger. Y'all knew I was going there, hallelujah. Don't be putting no S on it, go read the sign on the building now, praise the Lord, it's just Kroger, amen. I remember I was going to Kroger and I was going there to get some groceries and God was ministering on the way and he said, what if I sent you there not to get groceries but to get a person? He said, minister to somebody while you're at the store and then get groceries when you're leaving. See, listen, you've been given a heavenly assignment. And that assignment never leaves you. And you've been given a purpose, and that purpose never leaves you. It's time for us to start fulfilling this. I believe we all have a purpose because we're all created by him. Amen. And it's time to get busy about that purpose. Everyone say one. Over in Luke 19:9, we preached on this a while back in the youth ministry. It says, Jesus said to him, okay, so this is the story of Zacchaeus. Y'all remember Zacchaeus? He was a little man. Jesus was walking in the streets. He couldn't see him because he was a short little guy. And so he said, you know what? I'm going to climb a tree because I want to see Jesus. Amen. And we did this a couple weeks back in the youth ministry. I got this cardboard box and I cut out the front of it and I put two little reach holes on the sides of it. And then I made it where you couldn't see what was inside of there. And I dropped a $25 gift card on the inside of it. And then I put a live lobster in there. And I called somebody up and I had them stand behind the box and we put a blindfold on them so they didn't know what, and then Cody came in and the person was behind the box. It was AJ behind the box with a blindfold on. And then Cody came in with this live lobster and was walking around and all the teenagers were like, freaking out because it's a live lobster. And then we threw the lobster inside the box and then I took AJ's blindfold off and I said, there's a prize in there for you. There's something for you in that box, but you got to go get it. And the whole time he's reaching in there not knowing what it was, the crowd was screaming at him because they knew what it was. They saw it was a lobster. They knew it, even though it had rubber bands on it, still intimidated. And he's reaching around in there trying to find the prize, amen, trying to find what was laid aside just for him. And it was so amazing. When he first touched that lobster, it was cold and scaly and gross. And he jumped back about 5 feet. And he was like, ah, Jesus! And I mean, he just ran in the back of the building. But there's something to learn from that. And we learn it from Zacchaeus. Listen, and we learn it from Jesus. No matter the noise, you got to push through. And when you're at the store, there's a lot of noise to keep you from witnessing. I remember one time I was walking home from the park with the boys, and there was this man walking with his wife, and he had a cast on his leg, and he had a cane, and he was limping. And as he was walking towards me, and I was walking towards him, the Lord put it on my heart to minister to him. Now listen to me, I'm no different than you. God speaks to you just like he speaks to me. You are his sheep, and he is your shepherd, and you know his voice. He's always, always putting it on your heart to help people. That was so weak, y'all. That's why we're here, is to help people. That's why Jesus came, was to help people. If that's his heart, then that should be our heart. A little bit better. If that was his heart, that should be our heart. Amen. We are in the people business. Helping people. And so I'm walking towards this man, and the Lord, he starts dealing with me through the Holy Spirit. He says, I want you to pray with that man. I want to heal his leg. That's what I said. And so, you know, we're getting closer and I'm having this internal monologue. You know, my children are with me. They're in the wagon. They're going to think I'm crazy. This dude's going to think. See, noise. Noise to keep me from reaching the prize. Noise from God being able to reach alive. Noise. And I get about, you know, 3 to 5 feet away from him. And I said, is your leg hurt? He's got a cane and a cast. It's just, you know, revelation. And I said, is your leg hurt? And he said, yes, sir, it is. And I said, all right, have a nice day. And I kept on walking. Missed a miracle because of the noise. Now, y'all judging me, but you've done it too. How many people you pass by that God's asked you to minister to? Y'all don't throw, you put them stones down. Hallelujah. Every day you have opportunities to reach one person. Every day, I know you got people at work. You got people at school. You got people when you go to Kroger and Walmart. Hallelujah. You got people when you go all over the city. You got people when you travel. And like I said, if you have this mentality of reaching one, it doesn't matter where you are, you'll reach one. We took the youth group to Chattanooga yesterday. We were looking to bless one person, even though we weren't in Madison, because it's not about a church, it's about him. Amen. We went to a pizza place. We had leftover. I told some of the students, I said, go out on the streets, because we come to Chattanooga. I know there's some homeless people out there. Go find some people that need food. Why? Because our mentality is bless one at a time. Help one person at a time. So here's Zacchaeus, and he did whatever he had to do to see Jesus, right? And so Jesus sees him up in the tree, and he says, come down, let me go to your house. Now, what's interesting about this, you remember when Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house, what did the crowd start doing? They started judging Jesus. How dare you go to the house of the sinner? This is what I love about Jesus. He was able to clear out the noise, right? You remember when he went to save the centurion or hear the little girl, and he walked in there and all those people were weeping and crying. He said, this isn't going to stop me. I'm paraphrasing hallelujah. This is going to stop me from producing a miracle right here. Get out. So what did he do? He got all the noise out of there. Get the noise out of your head and start reaching one person. You can do it. Everyone say, I can do it. And so I love this. Look at this. Luke 19:9 through 10. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because this man, the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Remember, when we think about Jesus, and maybe it's just me, when I think about him, I think about the crowds and the multitudes. But this scripture right here, Jesus left the crowd to go to one man's house. He left the multitudes. He pushed through the noise because he saw the prize. Your family needs salvation. So I don't care what they say. I don't care what's going on in my head. I'm going to reach one person. Everybody say one is important. One is important. Jesus loved the multitudes, but he also loves the individual. And this is how you get to the multitudes, is one person at a time. You want to know how the nation is going to change? It's going to change one person at a time. There's a heart condition going on in the United States of America, and it's not going to happen by the masses. It's going to happen one person at a time, finding Jesus. And you've got Jesus inside of you to bring to them. Amen. Jesus loves the multitudes, but he also loves the individual. Matthew 18, 12 through 14. It says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Well, he leave the 99 others on the hill and go to search for the one that is lost. And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it even more over the 99 that didn't wander away. In the same way, is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of those little ones should perish and leaves the 99. Listen, God has shown us his heart. And I know this scripture in context is talking about children, but he's showing you, listen, I care about one. Wouldn't you leave to go after the one? And so we've got to begin to break it down in our own minds. I'm not called to reach multitudes. I'm called to reach one. Because God cares about the individual. And when you boil it down, and maybe it's just me, but I don't think it is because God put this on my heart for you. I'm always intimidated because I see how many people need Jesus. I need to get rid of that and just focus in. And really, that's what Pastor Mark's been teaching us for the last couple of weeks. Reach one person. Everyone say one is important. Go over with me to Acts chapter 9, if you would. Pastor Mark referred to this last week, but I want to look at it again because it's important. Acts 9, and we'll look at verses 10 through 19 here in just a second, but I want to paint a picture, so go all the way up to verse 1. It says, meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath. He was eager to destroy the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest and he requested letters to address the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. And so we see what the Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, we see his agenda. His agenda is, I want to go destroy the message of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to the high priest to get permission to put anyone in chains that is preaching that message. Amen. Now jump down to verse 9. Or verse 10. It says, and there was a believer. Remember what Pastor Mark said last week. Not a minister, a believer. Everyone say a believer. Now there was a believer in Damascus, and his name was Ananias. And the Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling him, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street in the house of Judas, and when you arrive, ask for Saul of Tarsus. He is praying to me right now. I've shown him a vision, a man named Ananias coming to lay hands on him so that he can see again. Now, I love this, Ananias, but Lord. Sounds like me when I see that man walking down the street with that cane and that broken leg. I want you to minister life to that individual, but Lord. Amen. I remember one time when I was at Rhema Bible Training Center, you know, it was Thanksgiving and I was working at Walmart and I wanted to go home because I wanted to, you know, have mom cook Thanksgiving dinner and I needed laundry done. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so I was like, you know, I was at Walmart and my family lived in Colorado. It was like a 12-hour drive and it was like 10 o'clock at night. I got done pushing carts after school and so I'd been pushing carts all the time. And now, y'all forgive me, but this is just my little pedestal. It was before they had those cool little remote control things to push all them carts. We had to do it with manual labor. Arr! You know, and they always told us, they're like, you can't push more than 10 at a time. Yeah, right. You know, that's like a challenge. Hallelujah. And so we'd stack them up 20 to 30 and we're back there just pushing carts. And so anyways, I jump in my truck at like 10 o'clock at night and I said, I'm going home for Thanksgiving. This is a 12-hour drive. It's 10 o'clock at night. Just got done manual labor pushing carts. And so I'm driving and I get up to about Topeka, Kansas, and I'm real tired, you know. And a lot of you have heard this story before. And you know those little rivets on the side of the road that let you know you're falling asleep and you're about to die? Yeah, I was hitting those on the reg, you know, I mean, just driving along and all of a sudden, I start hitting those. I'm like, oh, Jesus, I need to wake up. And so I pull into Topeka, Kansas or Wichita, I can't remember which one it was, and I'm filling up my truck with gas trying to wake up. Good thing is, you know, around Thanksgiving time, so it's November, it's a little cold in Kansas and Colorado, and so the cold air is helping, and I pump up the truck with gas, and I walk into the gas station. Immediately the Lord ministers my heart and says, I want you to preach to that man. And I look up at this man, he's like 6'5", 6'7", something like that, 300 plus pounds. And I said, yeah, but Lord. You know, you ever tried to tell Jesus he's out of his mind? You know, and so it's just a short walk to the cash register. I'm having this internal monologue with God. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm about to tell, because this is what the message of the gospel is. You're about to tell somebody's life is completely wrong. The way you're living is 100% wrong and you need Jesus. You know, and so I'm thinking, I'm about to tell this guy his way of living is wrong, and if he doesn't agree with me, he's going to squish me like a bug. Hallelujah. And so I'm fighting with the Lord. I get up there. I pay for my gas, and I turn around to walk away, and as soon as I turn around to walk away, I can't deal with it anymore. So I just look at him and say, I'm going to rip off the man and get it over with, and I say, have you ever asked Jesus into your life? And as soon as I said that, this man started crying. See, listen, God's wanting to reach one person. And this was before I was in ministry, just like Ananias, just a believer. With a message. And so I say, have you ever asked Jesus in your heart? And immediately this man starts crying. You know, I should be happy in my mind, but in my mind, I start thinking, okay, I have this huge dude crying in here at 2 o'clock in the morning. If somebody walks in, they're gonna think I'm robbing him. Because there is no other logical reason for him to be crying right now. And so I just begin to continue to witness to the man. And since he was kind of a big fella, I heard his story. He used to play for Kansas University football, and he had an accident, and he blew out his knee, and he couldn't play football anymore, and he lost his scholarship, and now he's working the midnight shift at a gas station. Broken. But Jesus wanted to reach him. Just like Saul was broken. But God wanted to reach him because he knew what was coming. So he sent one person to reach one person. So I told this brother, I said, I'll pray with you right now. We don't even have to hold hands. Your comfort above my preference. Hallelujah. Prayed with him, got him born again. And every time I drove through Wichita, Kansas, I stopped in that gas station to check on that guy. I brought him a lot of Kenneth Hagin resources and stuff. Just wanted to help him in any way possible. Everyone say, just one. And so over here he says, but Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard about the terrible things this man has done. See, the devil's always trying to intimidate you from letting this message come out of you. And the devil was trying to intimidate Ananias in his thoughts because he knew the type of person God was sending him to. You know, one thing I've heard some people say before is, I can't believe that person's coming to church. Well, my question is, who do you think you are? See, and this is the internal struggle that Ananias has had. But I'm not going to go reach him. Do you know what he's doing? Everyone say, one is important. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And in here, he's authorized by the leading priest to arrest every believer in Damascus. But the Lord said to him, go. So this is what happens when you argue with God. He just stays the same. He's always consistent, right? And so you know the story. Ananias went to Judas' house. He prayed for him. And then all of a sudden, the scales fell off his eyes. The Apostle Paul had a conversion. And then we know the rest of the story. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, went everywhere preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Went from persecuting the gospel to proclaiming the gospel. Why? Because a believer was willing to cut through the noise to reach the prize. It's not about the multitudes. It's about one. Everyone say, just one. Hallelujah. You can reach one person. You're equipped to do it. Over in Romans 10:8, it says, in fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. That is the message, the very message about faith that we preach. Amen. There's a message on your lips and in your heart. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? There's a message on your lips and in your heart. But we've got to get that message out of our heart, across our lips, to those that need it. Amen. I don't know about you, but not a lot of us know who Edward Kimball is. I didn't know who he was until I started studying this. Edward Kimball led D.L. Moody to the Lord. Under Moody's ministry, Wilbur Chapman was saved. Through Wilbur Chapman's preaching, Billy Sunday was converted. Because of Sunday's preaching, Mordecai Ham was saved. Now, y'all follow the bouncing ball. At a Mordecai Ham crusade, Billy Graham came to Christ. Because of one person. Didn't know who Billy Graham was. Didn't know he was going to reach Billy Graham. But I never heard of Edward Kimball. But yet, if Edward Kimball wouldn't have obeyed God, wouldn't have got the message that was in his heart and the message that was on his lips out, then this sequence of events would have never happened. Now listen to these stats about Billy Graham. 2.2 billion estimated number of people heard him preach. 215 million estimated number of people he preached the gospel to at live events. That's not radio and recordings. That's just live events. Hallelujah. 13, that's the number of U.S. presidents whom Billy Graham has met with, from Harry Truman to present day before he passed. This man was given influence with 13 different presidents. And then the last one, 2.2 million estimated number of people at crusades who responded to the invitation to become a Christian. 2.2 million became Christians, estimated, became Christians at his crusades. Why? All because Edward Kimball reached one person. And then that one person reached one person. See, you never know the individual that you're reaching with the message of Jesus Christ. It might be the Apostle Paul. It might be Billy Graham. You never know. Your responsibility is to just reach one person. Everybody say one person. And I can hear what some of you are thinking. Well, all those men were ministers. Yes, they were ministers. And so I've got another story for you. We had this student that came to Ablaze a long time ago. This student came for the first week and then decided to come the next week. He said, the next week I come to church, I'm going to bring a friend. Now, we never saw this student after he came his second week, but the friend that he brought with him was Christy Lewis. This individual brought Christy to church, and I told him, I said, y'all send me some pictures. So they sent me these pictures, and they sent me good pictures and then senior pictures. And I said, y'all shouldn't even send the bad. You know which one I'm going to use. It's always the most embarrassing one that I can find. Hallelujah. And so Christy came to church. After this unknown student brought her, Christy was born again in Ablaze Youth Ministry. She was with us all through junior high and high school, and then she went to UAB College down in Birmingham. After she graduated, she moved to Madison. She plugged right back into Seawall and got involved with Ignite Ministries. She met her husband, Stephen, our head usher, right here at Cornerstone Word of Life Church. Now, Stephen, you know, he's a man of his own. He found Cornerstone by himself. I don't know where he is, but kudos to you, kid, all right? So there are exceptions. Glory to God. But everyone say the importance of one. And so she came in, and then when she would come back from college in the summers, every once in a while she would help us out in Ablaze Youth Ministries. Both of them are plugged in at Cornerstone Word of Life Church right now this very day, and Pastor Mark officiated their wedding. Well, guess what? Christy brought Pauline. Pauline started coming to youth when she was in junior high. Pauline, too, found Jesus and spent her entire junior high and senior high career with us. After she graduated, she went to college, and then she plugged into COEL through Ignite. Pauline and her husband, Zach, both serve at Cornerstone. He is an usher, and she serves with us every single week in Ablaze Youth Ministries, helping teams connect to Jesus. She went with us on our youth event yesterday. She's giving back to the teenagers because she knows I can reach one. Amen. I had the wonderful privilege of officiating at their wedding. And then Pauline brought Cody. Yes. Yes. Cody's story, he came when he was 14. He got born again in Ablaze Youth Ministries. A couple months after he got born again, he said, I feel like I'm supposed to play guitar in your youth band. He plugged in, started playing guitar in our youth band. And he's been, and as soon, this is interesting now, as soon as Cody came into the youth ministry, he walked into those doors, the Lord put it on my heart. And I don't tell a lot of people this because it wasn't until Cody finalized his position. But as soon as he walked in, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, he'll be with you forever. I think it was last summer. Now, Cody's been on staff for several years here at Cornerstone Word of Life Church, but it was last summer that Pastor Mark promoted him to junior high youth pastor. And now he's fulfilling his call, reaching multitudes, 80 teenagers, 90 teenagers every single week in Ablaze Youth Ministries with the message of Jesus Christ. Because one person brought Christy, and Christy brought Pauline, and Pauline brought Cody. Not ministers, believers. Teenagers. And what's Pastor been talking about? How we are supposed to reach a generation. All these teenagers fall in line with the stats that Pastor Mark has been sharing with us for the last 3 weeks. About how 76% of all people who get born again do it before they turn 21. And guess what? The Lord has shown me, if you can get someone's heart when they're young, they'll be with you forever. This is the importance of reaching one. See, I didn't know Cody's destiny. Christy didn't know Cody's destiny. Pauline didn't know Cody's destiny. That unknown kid who brought them didn't know Cody's destiny, but God did. And he got a couple of people, instead of trying to reach a multitude, focused in and saying, you know what? I have this friend. I'll bring them to church. And they said, you know what? I have a friend. I'll bring them to church. And then all of a sudden, you see this begin to snowball to where everybody's purpose is being fulfilled and everybody's getting connected to him so the greater picture can be built. Everybody say the power of one. You can reach one person with the message of Jesus Christ. If you would, go with me over to Romans chapter 10. Hallelujah. And y'all know this. Verse 9, it says, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's by believing in your heart that you're right with God, and it's by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who believes in him shall not be disappointed. The Jew and the Gentile are the same in this respect. They all have the same Lord who generously gives the riches to all who ask him. For anyone, someone say anyone. For anyone who calls on the name, and anyone means everyone. Amen. For anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now verse 14, this is really what I want to get to. Verse 14, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? See, we know Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Listen, before somebody can have faith in Jesus Christ, they must first hear about Jesus Christ. It is time for the church to start talking about their Savior. It is time... It is time for the church to start talking about their Savior. Glory to God. I was praying back in the back for our Ignite Young Adults ministry, and I was praying, and it seems like we're always focused on the things that they are doing. And when I say they are doing, I'm talking about the world. We're always focused on the things that they are doing to keep us out of schools. But God told me, he said, start focusing on things that you are doing to get in the schools. Stop complaining about how they're keeping you out and start speaking how you're going to get in. See, and that's like us in the world today. We're complaining about everything that is wrong when we've got the answer within our heart and on our lips. Stop talking about what's wrong and start talking about what is right. Start, come on now, start preaching Jesus to everybody. Amen. Listen to this. And it's not even a matter of preaching. It's about proclaiming the message. And we see that word preach all the time. And we immediately think minister. But that word preach means proclaim. The definition of proclaim is this. Announce officially or publicly and for people to believe in Jesus. Proclaim means to announce officially and publicly. And for people to believe in Jesus, someone must proclaim. See, all God's wanting you to do is to announce publicly when you're at the store, I love Jesus. That's preaching. All he's wanting you to do is take this message that's in your heart and on your lips and take it to one person. Stop talking about what's wrong and start preaching what is right. What is right? Jesus is right. See, listen, nobody in this room is Professor Xavier. What does that mean? You're not going to win the loss to the Lord with just your mind. I wish I could. Hallelujah. I'd be getting everybody born again. You know what I mean? Just like willing them to church. Hallelujah. Mind power. Driving their little car over here to Cornerstone. They're like, how'd I get there? I'm like, I'm Professor Xavier. Hallelujah. That's how you got here. It doesn't work like that. In order for somebody to get here, most of the time, somebody has to invite them. In order for somebody to find Jesus, somebody's got to talk to them about Jesus. You can reach one person with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everyone say one is important. John 5:24, out of the English Standard Version, it says, truly, truly, I say, whoever hears my words and believes in them, who has sent me, has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but he has passed from death to life. Who has passed from death to life? Anyone who hears and believes. Listen, you cannot expect society to believe in Jesus without hearing about Jesus. You can't expect the people that you encounter on a day-to-day basis, to meet Jesus if you are not talking about Jesus. I want you to set your goal, and not just me, but the Holy Spirit wants you to set your goal, just like Pastor Mark's been teaching us the last couple weeks, on one person. Focus in. Easter's coming up. It's a wonderful time to invite people to church. We're going to have food. People will follow their stomach to Jesus. We're going to have activities for children. Amen. But in order for them to know that that's going on in this place, somebody has to tell them it's going on. See, in order for somebody to find Jesus, someone has to advertise Jesus. Wesley's made these wonderful Easter invite cards, and maybe you're not elegant with your words. I get it all the time. Hallelujah. You know, I'm always stumbling over my words. I'm always struggling with that. Praise God, I'm not called to do this publicly. That was a joke. Catch up to some of y'all later. Hallelujah. But maybe you're not good at public speaking, and maybe you're not good at one-on-one counters. Can you give somebody a card? You know, at the drive-thru, when you pay and they give your debit card, just throw it at them and then speed off. Get a handful of those suckers and be like, bless you, Jesus, God, woo! You know, and get out of there. Do whatever you got to do to get this message that is in your heart and on your lips out to the people that need it. Listen, I'm so grateful that you're here and you're sitting in these chairs and you're listening to me talk about Jesus. But what about the people that aren't here that you can influence? God wants them too. Amen. He wants to double his kingdom. And the way he does it is one person at a time. Everybody say one is important. Mark 16:15. And we all know this scripture. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Go into all the world. Guess what? The world starts right here in Madison. Starts in your home with your family. Starts with you at school with your peers and your friends. Starts with you at the workplace and you at the gas station. And you, everywhere that you go, there's a message in your heart and on your lips.
We hope you're inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org. Check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWOLMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.